Joining us this week, Pastor Tim Rabara from Ohio Living Home Health and Hospice. How are you, sir?
Doing good.
Well, we're glad to have you back with us, and we're going to turn things over to you, let you share what God's laid on your heart.
All right. Thanks, Tommy. Hey, so this week we've been just talking about different themes, different words that we associate with in our hospice team. And today I want to talk about grief. It's a big thing that obviously we all deal with as human beings. And we get this account here in the Word. In John 11, we see Jesus and his friends, Lazarus, and Lazarus' sisters, Martha and Mary. And I'll just read the account beginning with verse 23. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world." After she had said this, she went back to call her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" I love this. I love this snapshot we get into the life of Jesus and the heart of our living God, you know. Jesus wept. My mind can't really wrap around the idea of why Jesus cried here. There's all sorts of theories. You know, he cried because, you know, he's such a compassionate God. He cried for those that were mourning there. He's compassionate in the moment for them because, like, he knows he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead, right? Like, shortly thereafter. So why is he crying if he knows, you know, a few minutes later, he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead? But we see here the compassion that Jesus has in the midst of our emotions. Jesus is present. Emotions, I've heard, are God-given, but I'll go a step further. They're God-like because God himself is emotional. And we have this stigma, I feel like, especially if you identify yourself as a Christian, you know, you kind of think that, like, oh, emotions, you can't be led by your emotions. But God actually created emotions for our benefit, for the good. They give us opportunities to press into God and to be real in the moment and to be present in what we're going through. God is there. And God himself is emotional here. So therefore, Jesus was without sin, right? So if Jesus wept, it's okay to cry. I always tell my patients, like, it's okay to be angry. It's okay to be frustrated. It's okay to be mad at God. It's okay to not understand and not be okay with that and to be upset and to be scared and to be sad and the whole plethora of emotions that we have in life, all those things are okay. Don't avoid those. Press through them. Look at the life of King David in the Psalms. I always bring this up. I read Psalms oftentimes to patients, and I'm like, all right, so check this out. We've got this guy. What do you think he sounds like here? You know, his soul is downcast. You know, and I ask questions, and we come to the conclusion that he sounds like a bipolar, homicidal, suicidal, adulterous guy that's really frustrated and really screwed up right now. Well, guess what God says? He's a man after his own heart. You know, so in the midst of all those emotions, God is still present. Maybe even more present when we're authentic before him. When we actually bring that stuff to light and we don't just pretend everything's okay. That's when God can really move, is when we actually are real. God wants us to be real. He doesn't want us to fake it. He wants us to be real. Bring it to him. He can handle it. God wants us to press through that wall that we hit. And he uses that wall to change us. So as we push through on the other side, we're more Christ-like, we're more real, we're more transparent, and the comfort that we receive from God, we can then share that with others. You know, if we can be more dependent on God in the long run, then we don't have to ask that question that was asked here. If only you had been here, my brother would not have died. Because we'll recognize that he was there all along, right? Through the midst of whatever you're going through, whatever struggle you have, grief is, you know, is kind of a funny thing. It's not just the loss of a loved one. Of course, that's a big, you know, part of grief and encompasses a lot. But it's really, and it's an emotional reaction to any change. You know, anything that's gone through that has been a big, major life change in your life, or what we call anticipatory grief, when you know change is coming and life is no longer what it used to be, it's kind of your new normal, you're experiencing grief. So whether that's in a change of a job, change in a relationship status, you know, a divorce, or anything that changes your life in a radical way, you're experiencing grief. And God wants you to know that when you're going through that, He is with you every step along the way. You can be real and know that He's standing there with you. He's present and He weeps for you. If you're angry, He's okay with that. He can take that. And He wants you to be real if you're suffering and you're really dealing with all sorts of different emotions. He wants you to bring those to Him. Don't hide. Don't hide from God. He's there. He's with you every step along the way.
That's a good word for us, Tim. Would you go and pray for our listeners?
Absolutely. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, God, that You're just not up in heaven and just sitting on Your throne, and You gave us a little book, you know, to give us some hope and some catchy phrases, and we just gotta make it. Fake it till we make it. God, You're with us. You're a living God. You didn't leave us as orphans, but You sent us Your Holy Spirit. God, Yourself as the paraclete to help us, to aid us, to be our comforter and our helper. So Lord, I just pray that everyone listening, whatever they're going through, chances are, if someone's not going through something right now, it's not going to be long. Because You said, Jesus, that in this life we will have trouble. But take heart, because You have overcome the world. So in the midst of all of that that we go through, that we would sense Your presence and know that You're with us, that we can be real, and that You're just going to put Your loving arms around us. God, may we recognize that, and may we call on Your name in the midst of our suffering, in the midst of our heartache. And we ask this in Your name. Amen.
Amen. Pastor Tim Rabara in with us. He is with Ohio Living Home Health and Hospice. And tell us about what you do there and about Ohio Living Home Health and Hospice.
Yeah, so Ohio Living Hospice, we've been around now here in Northwest Ohio since 2006. We serve 11 counties in Northwest Ohio. We are founded as a Christ-centered, faith-based, nonprofit hospice organization. And our mission is to take care of people the way that Christ would. I'm a spiritual care coordinator, so I'm one of three chaplains. We make sure that our patients, when a cure is no longer the option, and we make sure that our patients on the inside, I always tell them, that their spirit, their soul is cared for. Oftentimes when people are dealing with disease for, you know, year after year after year, they come to a decision where they say, all right, I'm sick of being in the hospital. I'm sick of surgery after surgery. Well, what they're going through is grief. They're experiencing a whole new change now in their life, and they're starting to really face perhaps the end of their life. And so we're there to make sure that they're able to navigate that. It's a hard thing to press through, and we want them to know that we're there for them, that we support them, we pray for them. And man, it is just such an honor and a privilege to be part of something that's just such a viable ministry. Some of the things we do at Ohio Living, dealing with families with their grief, we follow up for 13 months following a death. We offer bereavement groups, not just for our patients, but for the public. You know, if you're suffering through loss, you can call us. We can get you in touch with some of the bereavement groups that we offer and coordinate. We do memory bears that we offer families to patients after they pass, where we take like a piece of their clothing or a blanket or something special, and we make it into a bear as a keepsake memory. We do an annual memorial service for all of our patients. And we really help families press through and cope through the grief and the suffering of the loss of a loved one. I don't know if there's anything more difficult in life that we have to really experience than losing someone that's close to us. It's a hard thing.
And if folks want to find out more information?
Absolutely. You can always call us, 419-865-1499, or visit our web at ohioliving.org.
Excellent. Hey, Tim, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Absolutely.